Welcome back to another broadcast. We left off last week on Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. And as we studied that passage and kind of glanced at it, we saw it in light of Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, which says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And as we looked at that passage and compared it to, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We see we should have the mind like Jesus, and then we see here that we should not have a mind that's conformed to this world. We did a word study of this passage, Romans 12, 2, which I'll just highlight again because I felt that I was a bit rushed at last week's broadcast. Some key words in this passage: conformed, transformed, and renewing. Let's look at those three first. Conformed, in the English word, if you just looked at conformed, it would be, con being a Spanish word or even from other languages, has the idea of the word with. So it means to be formed with. Conformed is to be formed with something else. Maybe formed with something shape or formed with another element. And here in this passage, it's don't be formed with the world or fashioned like the world. Be not formed to the world, conformed to the world, or fashioned like the world. But then it says, but be transformed. And we saw that the word for that word transformed came from the word that sounds so much like the word metamorphosis. And so the transformed is that you should be going from one state into another state. There should be a metamorphosis that takes place in your life. He says, don't be formed or conformed or fashioned like the world, but let a metamorphosis take place. And where should that be? By the renewing of your mind. So for me to transform into what God wants me to be, I need to have my mind renewed. The word renewed is the same idea of the word to renovate. To renovate, so you gut the living room and you gut the dining room and you pull down the paneling or you do whatever you're going to do and put up all new walls. You've seen people renovate their kitchen. They gutted it. They pulled it all the way down to the studs, put up new drywall, put in new subfloor, put in new cabinets and countertop and everything else, and they renovated it. And God says that he doesn't want us fashioned or formed like the world, but he wants us to have a metamorphosis that takes place in us. And how does that happen? By renovating your mind. And that's why we're talking about lies and the lies that we believe. And we all believe them. The only problem is many of the things that we believe to be true, but they really are, in fact, lies. And we'll talk much more about that as we go. And then it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to look at what the word prove is. That means to test. And here the word good is not like good or bad, like good or evil, but good meaning beneficial. So we need to transform and renew our mind or our understanding, and that we might test what is beneficial and acceptable, or in other words, fully agreeable or well-pleasing, and perfect has the idea of complete. Perfect meaning like a perfect set, or like a set of cards. I used to collect football cards when I was a kid. And you don't have a perfect set until you have all of the cards. When it's a complete set, you got a perfect set. It might not be in perfect condition, but it is a perfect set. And the idea of perfect in the Bible is that it's complete. And what's the will of God? The desire of God. So if we took all of these words and we rephrase them or paraphrase them into our own words by dissecting and defining or just doing these little word studies, it would come out like this. Don't be fashioned after the world, but experience and a metamorphosis by renovating your understanding so that your life can put to the test the benefit and complete desire of God. That's what God wants us to do. And so If a change is going to take place in your life, it's going to first take place in your mind. If you do it correctly and you heed to what the scripture says, you're going to be changed by changing your mind. Now, let's just look back at your salvation. Many of you were maybe raised in a church that preaches the gospel. And that's a little different for me because I was not raised that way, so I can't speak firsthand. But there were some things that you had believed, and you had to change your mind about yourself, can change your mind about your condition, or change your mind about the saving power of Jesus. And when you changed your mind, you trusted Christ and your life was changed. For me, I was raised in Catholicism. I believed that the Catholic priest was going to hold up that body of Jesus, and he actually held that wafer and he broke it in half, and that was Jesus suffering again. And I believed that if I ate him, he was going to come into my body and cleanse my soul of my sin. But I believe I had to be baptized. I had to be confirmed. I had to pray the rosary and cry out to Mary, and I had to, well, if you go through your seven sacraments, okay, we're not going to have a Catholic catechism here, but if you list them, that's what I believed, and I believed I had to do those things to get to heaven. But in order for me to experience the wonder and change brought about by salvation, where did the battle take place? First in my mind. Then once my mind sorted it out, then I repented of those thoughts that I had before. Now I had truth in my mind. Then I exercised faith in that truth, and my life was changed. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you, with struggles and problems that you have. If you struggle with being anxious, if you struggle with being down and negative thoughts about yourself, and you just feel worthless, you think everybody else thinks that you're worthless, and you're not motivated to do anything in your life, and some people might even begin to think, I feel like I'm depressed. And so that's the idea of what we're talking about. Where do these things come from? If you find yourself losing your temper, and you're yelling at your wife, or you're yelling at your kids, or you're screaming, or you're punching the wall, or you're kicking the dog, or whatever else it is that you might do, hey, you know why you're doing that? There are some things that you're believing about yourself that aren't true. And if we can change those things that you believe and renovate your mind, then you can have a metamorphosis take place in your life. We're not talking about getting saved. I'm talking to people who are saved. And if you missed the first broadcast, I shared a bit about my life where I was trapped in perfectionism. It would be very difficult to be in a project with me and work with me because it had to be absolutely 100% without error, striving for everything being perfect. I was not happy. Anybody around me wasn't happy. I was destroying my family, destroying my children, all the while have many other good qualities in my life, but I was controlled by things that I believed about myself. And the things that I believed, they weren't true. They were lies. So let's talk a little bit about what I learned that changed my life. It took place in 1998. I had already been saved for a number of years. I was saved November 9th, 1979. And this change I'm talking about took place in 1998. So I was 19 years old in the Lord before this major change took place in my life. I'd sure like to see it happen to you at a much sooner state. Here's some things that I learned. Let's talk about a truth system. Just so you know where we're going to go, we're going to look specifically at lies that people believe. We're not going to do it today. We might do it in the next week's broadcast, but we have to set the groundwork for things we need to know and understand so that as we look at each lie, we can recognize it for what it is, we can identify thoughts or behaviors that come from that, and then we need to look at what scriptural truth or what biblical principle can I begin to apply to my life that is the truth that I can believe, and when I believe that, then my behaviors are going to change. I know people who just struggle with losing their temper and yelling and screaming. And this might sound like a contradiction, but they're really good people. They really are. They really love the Lord. They really have such great qualities about themselves, but they're under control of lies that they believe. And when you begin to touch in an area of their life that's associated with one of those lies, that's when you begin to see their explosive behavior. And they'll go to the altar, and they'll pray, and they'll ask God to take it from them, and they'll ask God to forgive them, and they'll promise God again and again that they're not going to do those things, but yet they fall into it again. And you say, well, why didn't God deliver it from them? Because there's a truth that they need to know, because it's the truth that makes you free. Does that sound familiar? John chapter 8? It's the truth that makes you free. And until you know that truth, God is hindered in setting you free. Stop and think for a minute. I'm not off topic, but it sounds like I am. Let's go to some far off remote area in a jungle, maybe back in Borneo or in a deep part of still the jungle of Africa. And there's an individual that has not been reached by a missionary. He's never heard of the name of Jesus, but in his heart and his mind, he's convinced that there's somebody greater than just himself, and that there's no way he's come to this being on earth by accident, that there has to be somebody greater than him that's made him. And he looks up into the sky and he cries out to that person in the sky, and he wants to make sure that that person is pleased with him and they're not angry with him. Can he get saved? And we all know the answer is no, not until he comes to know the truth, and that truth is Jesus. And so until he knows the truth, he can't be set free from his bondage of sin and the distance between him and the relationship with his Creator. And it's the same with you and me. We can cry out to God, we can beg God, but until God puts his finger on the area of your life that's causing you to react in anger, and then he shows you the truth that you must believe in order to be able to deal with that situation without being angry. Until you know those things, God is hindered in how he's going to be able to help you. Let's look at what we refer to as the truth system. It's an acronym or acrostic, whichever you want to refer to, but it starts with the letter T. T stands for trigger event. Now, some of you might get worked up when you hear some language I'm going to use, and I know trigger event sounds like some psych term, but we'll get past that, all right? Let's not get worked up, because we have things that set us off, something that gets you upset. Just a term that many people know is called trigger event, and that's what we'll refer to it as. There's an event that takes place. Let's look at a scenario. You might be at a concert, and somebody behind you starts talking loudly. I went to go listen to Pavarotti up in Hartford, Connecticut. I drove 2.5 hours to get there. And while I'm sitting there, somebody 3 rows back is singing along with them. Boy, were they triggering me. I was getting angry inside. I spent all this money to hear this guy sing, and you're singing, and I hear you better than I hear the person that I've come to the concert for. What's happening? I was triggered. Something set me off. Something got me stirred inside. Maybe you're rushing to an appointment and you accidentally lock your keys in the car. Hey, have you ever done that? You might be in a rush and somebody in front of you is actually going the speed limit. How dare them? You might have been discharged from your place of employment or fired, or maybe even forced to retire. Or suppose there's a sudden, unexpected death of a loved one. These are all trigger events. So here's what I want you to do. Between now and the next week's broadcast, I want you to write down on a piece of paper things that happen that get you upset, get you anxious, get you depressed, get you worrying, get you crying. Write those things down. And as we talk, we need to build on that and find out what's the biblical answer for them. But we won't do that until the next time. God bless.